Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message. Philippians chapter 4, there's a classic portion which talks about the importance of thanksgiving in our lives. This month we're studying principles, and I want to start with thanksgiving. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 onwards. Do not be anxious about anything. So you have permission to be anxious about nothing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think only about such. God is saying, being thankful, make it an attitude. In corporate language, they call it attitude of gratitude. It's a habit we develop with the practice of right thoughts and feelings. And that brings meaning to life, especially from the perspective of God's plan. And that thanksgiving is associated with that eight characteristics that you just read. Whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is excellent, whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is praiseworthy. Your mind begins to think only on those things because you've developed a concoction of thankfulness with prayerfulness. But anxiety, God is saying, do not be anxious. God is not saying, maybe you should try and avoid being anxious. God is not saying, half an hour you can be anxious every day. No, he's saying, do not, absolute measurable commandment, do not be anxious. Somebody once told me, reading that verse, I get anxious, Pastor. Yes, anxiety has sometimes become a part of our life. What is anxiety? It's a feeling of fear, a feeling of uncertain negativity that is short-lived or sometimes long-lived. Anxiety usually comes when people turn against us or when situations seem to get worse than what it already is, or when we are having to make unfamiliar changes in life or decisions about life and we are in crossroads of life. It can also, anxiety can be a normal reaction to stress or pressure because we are living in a society which is so pressurized like a pressure cooker. And what does anxiety do? Physically to the body, it makes the body restless. You feel nervous, you have trouble sleeping, sicknesses are caused because of it. And what does it do to the mind? What does anxiety do to the mind? It creates restlessness in our thoughts and in our feelings. We have trouble focusing, concentrating, or thinking positive. And what does it do to our spirit? Anxiety causes restlessness in the spirit. We have more fear instead of faith. We have more hatred instead of love. That's why God says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Many people cope with anxiety with different ways. Some experiment with coping mechanisms like smoking. Every half an hour they have to go out for one puff. Or cursing, using bad language. Or addictions of sin. While some others, they don't have such physical expressions of handling their anxiety, but they internalize the anxiety in terms of compromising on values, ethics. God's word says, do not be anxious. If I want to remove the content inside, I can pour it out. But in the mind, it doesn't work like that. Mind will never be empty. It gets filled with something. A cup you may probably keep empty, but the mind you can't keep empty. If you want to remove something from the mind, you have to replace it with something else. So the Bible is saying, instead of anxiety, fill your mind with thanksgiving and prayer. A concoction, a chemical compound, a collection, a bringing together of prayer and thanks. Mix it together and fill your mind with it. So what happens? Anxiety has no space. You want to remove anxiety from your mind? Every time you sense anxiety, remember that is a space to fill with thanksgiving and prayer. The minute you notice, oh, I'm anxious, what time he'll stop preaching? Fill it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah, what a wonderful pastor we have. And pray to God, Lord, help him not to stop. That is how you remove anxiety from your mind. Take, that's a bad example, but take anxiety out with a mixture of thanksgiving and prayer. Why is the Bible saying combine thanksgiving and prayer? Because you can separate it. You can be thankful without being prayerful. That's what the corporates do. In the corporate world, they don't believe in God, but they are thankful. Happy. They're thankful. Thankful to whom? Nobody. I'm thankful. It's like writing a love letter with no address on the envelope. To whom it is? Don't know. Thankfulness without prayerfulness will give you the benefit of thankfulness. Of course, you will have those good feelings. You will have the positive benefits of being thankful. But when you have thankfulness without prayerfulness, what happens is you have only the benefits of natural thankfulness, and you're cutting out God from the equation. You're cutting out the goodness of God, the power of God, the promises of God, and the divine miracles of God. Now, some others do the opposite. They are prayerful, but never thankful. They pray all the time, but no thanks in their heart. And what that does is, it makes your prayer so boring. It makes your religious life purely religious. Your prayer becomes less effective and fruitless. Prayer becomes more like religion than being anointed, spiritual or relational. If you are going to the college and the college admission staff told you, submit the admission form, application form, fill it up, submit the application form along with a DD or a check of X amount. Next day you go with the application form fully filled with your passport, with your photograph, everything. And they say, where is the check? They say, no, that I don't want. This you take. Will they take it? I thought you knew the answer. They won't, right? There are people who go to God and say, God, take my prayer. God says, attach it with thanksgiving. If your admission counter won't take unless you attach the right ingredients, why would God Almighty take prayers when it is not attached with the right things? Is that the expression when you understand something? So the point here is this. God says, whenever you offer prayer, attach it with thanksgiving. Attach it with thanksgiving. Attach it with thanksgiving. And attach thanksgiving with prayer to God. Combine the two. It is so very important. Attach the two. Sometimes our mind runs into a hurry mode where we bury thanksgiving and we have worry, you know, and we pray with worry. Now the problem with those things are that God cannot answer prayers of doubt. It's like saying, God, I think you can do it. If you can, just do it. God's like, excuse me, when you come to me, first of all, have confidence I'm God. I'm not like the CEO of your company who himself will lose his job sometime. I will never lose my job. I'm not worried every 5 years if I lose my chair. I am God. You will come and go. I will be here. It is so important to come to God with a combination of thankfulness and prayerfulness. Shall we say that together? A combination of? And. So some of us, we are very thankful, but we are less prayerful. And some of us, we are so prayerful, but very less thankful. And both the sides are extremes which are incorrect. And what happens when you pray with a thankful heart? God is saying the peace of God will rule. In that passage we read, the peace of God will rule your hearts and your mind. It doesn't matter which party is in power. It doesn't matter who is the boss. It doesn't matter who is the professor that is helping you as a guide in your research. It doesn't matter whom you're married to. Peace will rule over your life, and nobody else can rule your life when you walk in a combination of thanksgiving and prayer before God Almighty. Am I helping anybody here? This is so very important. I'm a pastor. When I pray, God will answer. If combination is right, God will answer. Otherwise, God will say, Pastor, I can't hear. But I am fasting and praying, so what? It doesn't matter how holy you are. If you dial the wrong number, the wrong person will pick the call. It doesn't matter how righteous you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. You may be the richest man in the world. If you dial the wrong number, you get the wrong person. You can't say, I'm the wealthiest, so it has to go to the right person. No. It doesn't matter how anointed you are, what position you have, how religious you are. If your prayer is not right combination, it cannot go through the counter of God's application. Prayer with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a fundamental principle of the scripture. We got to be thankful. And when you are thankful, number one, His peace will come into rule. And it says two things. His peace will rule your hearts and your mind. Hearts, emotions. Mind, equations. Heart, feelings. Mind, logics. He'll rule your heart. What are some of the common feelings? Love is a feeling. Joy is a feeling. Thankless people will have love, but they'll have worry with love. Love her so much, but don't know who will take her. But when you are thankful to God, love will be protected with peace. Your love will have peace ruling over it. Love, joy, these feelings will have an added dimension. Logics. We all have to do budget of time, don't we? We all have to do budget of money, don't we? We all have to do budget of planning with our resources, don't we? You can either do it with worry and anxiety, or you can do it with peace. God says, you put this concoction of thanksgiving and prayer in your life, and I'll make sure that your plannings are peaceful. I'll make sure your budgetings are peaceful. Your logics will be peaceful. You will not have to do it with anxiety. And the peace of God will rule over your hearts and mind. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble and true and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, mind will go in that direction. Are you seeing the power of following the word of God? This is so important. Every day, thank God for your family. Say, Jesus, I thank you for this family. My family, Pastor. Yes. You start thanking God for your family, and it's going to become more beautiful starting with you changing. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your job. Thank God for the course you're studying in your college. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your friends. Every day, take some time to say thanks to God for these things, and mean it from your heart. Don't say it like a chanting, like a mantra. Thank God for the opportunities God gives you in life. When you start thanking God, what happens is God's Holy Spirit begins to guide you on how to handle your opportunities, on how to handle the people God puts in your life. God's Holy Spirit begins to guide you on how to benefit from the things that are happening in your life. And when you are less thankful to God, God stops interfering in the things you have in life. And even the positive things you have in life stop bearing good fruit. Become more thankful. Thank God even for the times of pain and loneliness you go through. Now that's an oxymoron. How can I thank God for my pain? Can I tell God, God, thank you for the pain. Give me some more. No, of course not. You don't please pray like that. I've heard people pray like, Lord, give me suffering so I'll depend on you. I hope Christian IQ will go slightly higher. You don't need suffering to depend on God. You can depend on God without suffering. Yeah, you don't have to become poor to learn to depend on God. You can be rich and still depend on God. What's the proof? Abraham was wealthier than the king in his own kingdom. And yet he depended on God and walked by faith. David was the wealthiest king until the next, and yet he depended on God. The wisest man on the earth became the most foolish, Solomon. Why? He stopped depending on God and depended on his wisdom. You need wisdom, but depend on God. Use your wisdom, but depend on God. Thank God for the pain. Thank God for the loneliness. Thank God for the enemies you have. Thank God for the fears you go through. But when you thank God for those, say, Lord, I want to thank you for that enemy, for the fact that I'm not facing that enemy alone. You are with me, O God. Lord, thank you for the loneliness I'm going through. And I want to thank you, God. Truly, I'm not lonely. You are with me. Thank you, God, for that fear I struggle with, because I know you're going to teach me how to overcome. You know, when you start thanking God for your negatives, you start learning how to overcome. God gives you more grace to sustain through it. He gives you the power to break free from it. And he gives you the wisdom to stay free from what he gave you breakthrough. You will not go back into bondage. But when you're thankless, your thinking and feeling and planning becomes empty. You see no purpose to your success and pleasures and even friendships. You don't see purpose to friendship. That's why in today's world, there is so much of betrayal among longtime friends. In the history of the world, there has never been so much adultery and divorce in the social element called marriage, in the human history. Why? Because people are thankless. They just don't, they take things for granted. There's no sense of respect. And so thinking becomes futile. Romans chapter 1, let's read verse 21. For although they knew God, neither did they glorify God, nor give. They had thanks, but didn't give. They had thanks. Thanks is an emotional substance. It is a substance of the spirit also. They kept it with themselves. They didn't give it to God. They didn't give thanks to him. And so their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were. You want to be intelligent? You want to be wise? You want to be smart? Learn to be thankful. Thankless people operate from a platform of negativity. Thankless people operate. They are successful. But deep inside, it's a cave they live in. It's a hollowness they live in because they operate out of fears. They work not out of joy. They work, they are smart, they excel. But the fear is, when will I lose this job? But thankful people work with a sense of gladness. But when I say this, there's one danger. God's children sometimes become lousy. Why? God will take care. No, don't be like, be excellent. People in the world work very hard because they're scared. Oh my God, if I lose this job, I don't know what will happen. So they are the very best. God's children kick the can here, go sit down there. Boss came, why so early? You know, they have a very... Why? God will take care. Listen, God will take care of you, I tell you. In the other sense. Of course, thankless people work out of fear. They work out of a sense of bitterness. What is bitterness? A mixture of anger, revenge, hurt, and all of those substances of the mind. They work from a sense of shame. There's no sense of thankfulness. There's a feeling of shame. They're overcome with, oh, I wish no one knows who I am. I wish no one knows what I do. I wish no one knows I have no control on certain things. And boredom, fatigue, tiredness sets in. When you're not thankful, no? Boredom, tiredness. You got the beautiful opportunity in life, but you're bored of it. What, same thing again and again? I have to go back to that same man. This lady for 10 years. Learn to be thankful, otherwise you will go through tiredness, boredom, and guess what? You'll destroy the good things you have in life. Thankfulness is very important. Be thankful. Hallelujah. First to God, be thankful to God. Then God will help you how to handle the good things in your life. His Holy Spirit will guide you. One day the disciples of the Lord Jesus were super excited. Hey, are you all excited learning God's word today? Is it helping anybody? It's so important to have a thankful heart. The other day one girl told me, look at my color. I said, okay. She said, if I was fairer, no. I said, how would it help? She said, what do you mean? I said, in my opinion, more monkeys would follow you. What else? Anybody with a sense of smartness knows that color of the skin is only color of the skin. It's only color. Then she said, but look at my parents. I said, what about that? They are poor. I said, so what? No, if they were rich, things would have been better for me. In about 15 minutes, she gave me a couple of things to be unhappy about. I told her one thing. I said, sweetheart, from today, can we thank God that you are not as bad as those guys who look at color? You are far more superior than that. She said, yes, I'm not so bad. I said, good. Can you be happy that God has given you intelligence, that you will make more money, that when your children are as old as you are today, they will not be upset with you because you are not as poor as your parents when your children are as old as you? She said, yes. I said, super. All those four or five things, we looked at how beautifully we can be thankful. She got up. I said, we didn't pray. She said, oh yeah. She sat down. She forgot to pray. Sometimes when we are thankful, we forget to pray. Thankfulness and prayerfulness should work together. Some people pray only when they are sad. No, pray when you are glad. Otherwise, you'll go mad. And you'll be sad. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so happy I came to church today. Yeah, after 6 days, again Sunday comes. Come back. Once a month is not enough. You smile at the person next to you with that attitude. I don't know if he was talking about you. You know, the point is this. Disciples one day came to Jesus and they are so excited. One is saying, Jesus, when I just commanded the demon came out of that man. Another said, Jesus, I touched that leper and the leprosy was healed from that. True story. It's there in the Gospel of Luke. Another fellow said, Jesus, I didn't even have to touch you and I spoke, he got healed. These guys are excited. The Lord Jesus said, calm down, guys. Yes, you should celebrate that good things happen through your life. You should celebrate that healings happen, miracles happen for others through your life. But rejoice more. Be more happy in the fact, be more thankful in the truth that your name is written in heaven's eternal register and that is your permanent address. Hallelujah. Jesus said, hey, listen, man, your Aadhaar card has your permanent address. That is what, 80 years, 100 years, 120 years? But there is a greater address, which is not your permanent address, but it is your eternal address. Hallelujah. And God has already written your name in that. In your name, there is a khata in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus said, be happy about it. In other words, the Lord was saying, don't let your thanks be limited to the virtues you enjoy on the earth, but let the perspective of your gratitude be based out of eternity, which is a reality. Be thankful for the truth that you are going to exist beyond the grave in a real place called heaven. Be thankful about that relationship with God. Disciples understood that concept. There's one character in the Bible. His name is David. Oh, I love David. David is one character in the Bible that inspired me. When I was small, I remember going from First Main Road, Ganganagar to, no, Second Main Road, Ganganagar, where I stayed, to First Main Road, Ganganagar, where there was a stationery shop. During vacation, school vacation, I went and I purchased catapult. Catapult? Is that what they call it? So catapult. Because I wanted to be like David. And I couldn't get a sling and I didn't know how sling works. And I don't think they sell it anywhere. So anyway, stationery shop, they got a catapult. I picked that catapult. And I remember walking back to my house, looking at the electric post and saying, if you were a Goliath. And now that David is ready, you know. Be careful of what you grow up watching. A lot of Tom and Jerry, I don't know what they're inspired. I'll leave that there. Grow up with good characters. In my days, I didn't have television. what they was probably more popularly called idiot box. So we didn't have, in my house, there was no TV. I'm not talking whether it's right or wrong, but that gave me the opportunity, or I was forced to read, because I couldn't waste time watching TV. I could be forced to reading. So I had to read comics, books. That was the only way I could entertain myself. And today I look back and I thank God for good characters I grew up with. So one is David. But when you study the life of David, please, many times when you talk of David, oh, I want to be like David. Jesus, make me like David. Be careful when you pray prayers. Yeah, because David's life was not a fairy tale. When you look at his childbirth, man, it was sad. This fellow was, you know, in the book of Psalms, he wrote, in sin was I conceived. He wrote that. In sin was I born. Why? Bible scholars suggest probably because his father had some illicit relationship, some out of wedlock relationship with a woman through which David was born. Because when you study the book of 1 Samuel, when the prophet came into the house of Jesse, David's father, and said, God is anointing one boy as a king from your house. Jesse made 7 sons come in line. The Bible says they were ceremoniously cleansed. Actually, my children pointed that out to me. They were ceremoniously cleansed before bringing to the prophet, all 7 of them. And when the prophet rejected all the 7, and prophet asked, do you have one more? And Jesse said, Ile, in this production, only 7. Then prophet asked again, do you have one more? He said, oh yeah, there's another production from another unit. Call him. That is how David came. Please don't think this fellow is, you know, growing up with brothers, playing caroms in the morning with the elder brother, playing badminton with the younger one, going out for tea, and with the other brother always buying him jacket every weather. Nothing. This fellow was the unwanted child in the family. It appears like that. And the Bible says when the prophet insisted, bring him, till then we will not sit down. They brought David and the Bible says he was immediately shown to the prophet, which means his 7 stepbrothers were given the ceremonial cleansing, which is there in the Bible. But for him, no cleansing, no makeup, nothing. Straight away, Goda. Stand in front of the prophet. Doesn't feel good, no? Brothers were given all the requirements before going to the prophet. This fellow was not given any briefing on how to go to the prophet. He was not given any kind of a dress up, nothing. And God anointed him. Why? David should have been the absolute example of what happens when you're raised in a bad society. He should have been that angry young man throwing stones at buses, burning the auto rickshaws, scaring the ladies who come home after work in the evening, making cat calls, having a rowdy gang. He should have been that, you know, unusual character of what happens when somebody has a dysfunctional childhood. But what did he become? Instead of becoming bitter and angry and irritated, this fellow, a young boy, he started becoming thankful to God. God, I thank you. I am all alone with the sheep that my father don't care about, including me. But I thank you that you care about me. He became thankful to God. And guess what? He added music to the thanks. He said, why just thanks? Let me pick up and learn how to play guitar. In the days where there was no YouTube to teach him, he learned to play himself. He put his mind on skill. He became the one-man choir, the single-unit symphony, the single-person orchestra that worshiped God. He developed his stone throwing. The only thing he could do is throw stones. He became so skillful in throwing stones, the Bible says, at the breadth of a hair, he could aim it. He developed his skills. How did he develop it? Because he developed a heart of thanksgiving to God. He didn't sing, you know, melancholy songs of Bollywood. Hai re mere jaan. Main aisa kyon hoon, main waisa kyon hoon. I wish you reacted like this when I said scriptures. But anyway, he didn't sing songs of my father, ran away with a lady, and look at the chemical composition that I am. Surely monkey turns into man. No. He sang songs like Psalm 139. Let's read that. I praise you, God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Oh, somebody, give God a mighty hand of praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! David developed the simple attitude of thanksgiving with prayer. And what a trajectory God cut out for him. From the womb of ugliness to the fatherhood of rejection came out the first king that God said is a man according to my heart. Because he developed not the right genetics, but the right attitudes. Genetics is what they give you. Attitudes is what you create. And he created a heart of thanksgiving. And that's why he didn't throw those stones at his brothers and father. If his stones could have killed that Goliath, don't you think his stones would have knocked off that father and brothers? But he kept them alive. He never bothered to throw at them. Why? A heart of thanksgiving will give you the right aim in the right direction. Let me say it like this. A heart of thanksgiving is the ecosystem, is the environment in which the Holy Spirit works. And a heart without thanks is an ecosystem environment that attracts evil spirits. You can choose. We have the freedom to choose whom to attract, Holy Spirit or evil spirit. Close your eyes and say, Lord, you have chosen me to be a temple of your Holy Spirit. This month, as we study your principles, week after week, help me to respect. Help me to value. Hey, shall we all start thanking God? Let's start with the church. Let's say, Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for the opportunity to live according to your word. Thank you for the teaching of your scripture, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I can come week after week, learn your word and practice it through the week. Thank you, Lord, that even though I'm not perfect, you never reject me. Thank you that every time I repent, you are there to cleanse me. You're there to give me a new start. Thank you, God, that you can make a fantastic edifice, a fantastic thing out of my life. It doesn't matter what this life gave me to start with, but you will give me everything to make great out of it. You are a good God. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't bite your lips. Give thanks with your mouth. Let it flow out of you to God. Don't let your tradition, don't let your bitterness, don't let anything stop you from slipping out those thanks to God from a heart full of thanks. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord today, I thank you with my whole heart. When you are filled with thanksgiving, sickness has no place. There is a healing that flows. You don't need to go to any pastor to cast out that devil. Oh, when thanksgiving and prayer fill your heart, every curse is cast out. Every evil is cast out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The powers of demons suffocate in an atmosphere of thanksgiving and prayer. Worship Him and tell Him, Father, I thank You, for You are a good God. I don't know my future. It doesn't matter. You know my future, and that's what matters. Whatever happens, I'll be thankful to You, God. I look forward to Your will being done in my life. I trust You, Jesus, and I know You will do things that's best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank You that I can change. I thank You that I can grow. I thank You that there's no habit that cannot be changed, because You are with me. Your power is there for me. I trust You, Lord. I thank You. You will help me to live above my mistakes. You are a faithful God. I commit myself to being thankful to You, Jesus. I commit myself to honoring You, Lord. I don't want boredom to come into my mind. I don't want to be tired of the good things You do in my life. Hallelujah. Help me to experience the adventure of being thankful. Thank You, Jesus. Heavenly Father, this morning we know for sure You have spoken to us. This month of June, we thank You, will be another month of mighty victory. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people said, Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.